Greetings. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. I'm Paul Robbie on the faculty here at Concordia Seminary, and I will lead you through the appointed Old Testament lesson for the fifth Sunday in Lent, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, so the first half of Ezekiel 37. This, of course, is one of the most famous chapters in the book of Ezekiel, well known, about the dry bones. We think of that old African-American spiritual, them bones, dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. And it's based on Ezekiel 37. Basically, Ezekiel 37 presupposes that there will be a bodily resurrection unto eternal life, and then uses that presupposition to apply to Israel's restoration from exile and return to the Promised Land. Of course, we have to keep in mind we are in Babylon with Ezekiel, and Jerusalem, the second half of the book, or third half of the third part of the book, Ezekiel announces promises of restoration. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. Jerusalem has gone into exile. But and then after the oracles against the nations in chapters 25 to 32, now Ezekiel turns his message to gospel. The law of God has done its work, and now it's time for gospel and hearing the promises of a new and glorious future. God gives us a future. So Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of Yahweh was upon me, one of Ezekiel's expressions for how God came upon him and gave him these visions. And he caused me to go out, that's a hifil of Yatzah, by the Ruach Yahweh. The Ruach Yahweh, typically in the Old Testament, is the Spirit of Yahweh. As we're going to see, this chapter kind of plays on the root Ruach. Ruach can mean breath, a person's breath. It can mean wind, and it can mean the Spirit. Much like pneuma in the New Testament can also have those meanings. So here I take it as a the Spirit of Yahweh. He took me out by the Spirit of Yahweh, and he caused me to rest. That's a hifil of nuach. We're going to see there's another form of it later as well, but this one is the normal causative meaning. He caused me to rest in the midst of the valley. And it, Malaya, was full of utzamoth bones. So in his vision state, he is transmitted to a valley full of bones. And he caused me to pass over, this is the hifil of Avar, over them, saviv, saviv, around and around, so thoroughly all over the field. Vahine, and that's that interjection that calls attention to the next word or phrase. And look, notice, very many, raboth, many, ma'od, very, very many, over the surface of the valley. And look, notice, yaveshoth, dry, ma'od, very, very dry. These bones are not recently buried. These are not recently deceased people. These are very dry, brittle bones. In the Old Testament, we think of the times when Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead who were more recently deceased, resuscitated them. But this is even greater than that. These are very dry bones, and he's going to bring life back into them, and this is resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, and he said to me, Ben Adam, the characteristic way of referring to Ezekiel, O son of man, That hey is an hey interrogative. Is it the case that these bones will live? Kaya will live again. Is it the case that these bones will live? Which, of course, humanly speaking, is impossible. Even today's modern technology is not able to bring about the resurrection of the dead. And this is way beyond human capability. Science is never going to be able to do this. So we might even translate, can these bones live? Va Omar, and I said, Adonai Yahweh, Lord Yahweh, you know. Ezekiel doesn't know. This is beyond him, but Yahweh knows. And Ezekiel likes to call Yahweh Adonai Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh. Verse 4, and he said to me, this is a Nifal imperative of Nava, and in the Nifal, that simply means to prophesy. So prophesy over these bones and say to them, the hey interrogative, this is a hey vocative. It's a definite article, hey, but it's often used with vocative. Oh, dry bones. Shimu, hear the word of Yahweh. That's an amazing verse. He's talking to bones. Well, what does this tell us about the word of God? The word of God is causative, has causative power. It's able to bring about what it says. And if the word of God says live, it's able to produce that life. Just we think of Genesis 1. God's word said, let there be light, and there was light. God's word is able to bring about results. God's word is powerful. It's not inert. It's ert, as they say. The word of God brings about what it says. We think of the parallel gospel lesson for this Sunday, John 11, and how Jesus says to the corpse, Lazarus, come forth. And sure enough, that word of Jesus is able to produce life from the dead. So the word of God leads people or produces contrition, and it produces, causes faith, and it gives eternal life. John's gospel emphasizes this repeatedly as well. This is good Lutheran theology. This is one of our distinctive Lutheran accents that which we get from the scriptures, that the word of God has causative power. It's able to do things. And that's why we bring the word of God to people. Verse 5, thus spoke the Lord Yahweh to these bones. Behold, I am causing to enter into you, that's a hifil participle of bo, ruach, spirit, wind, breath, and you will live. So that spirit, breath, wind will give life. Verse 6, and I will give, Nathan, over you sinews, and I will cause to go up over you flesh, and I will karam cover over you skin, and I will give in you spirit, wind, breath, and you will live, and you will know that I am Yahweh. This characteristic recognition formula that Ezekiel repeatedly uses. God saves Israel in order that Israel would know Yahweh, would have this intimate knowledge of their God. That's saving knowledge. That's faith. So the purpose is to live in eternity knowing our God and being in fellowship with him. That it's not simply to exist. It's eternal life with God, not just eternal existence. So it's a very powerful phrase, that you might know that I am Yahweh. Verse 7, Ezekiel says, and I prophesied just as I was commanded. That's a pool, Siva. And it happened. Kol, a sound. When I was prophesying, or as I was prophesying, this is a nifal infinitive construct of nava with the comparative particle ka. As I was prophesying, it happened, a sound. And behold, or look, ra'ash, a shaking, a quake. There was an earthquake. And bones came near, bone to its bone. Bones came close to each other, bone to its bone. Verse 8, and I saw, and behold, over them were sinews, and flesh came up, and he caused to cover over them skin. I take it that karam is transitive here, just like it was earlier, and so Yahweh would be the subject. Yahweh caused, Yahweh covered over them skin from above. And, or but, this is an adversative wow, a disjunctive wow, but wind, breath, spirit, ain by him there was not in them. There was no wind, breath, spirit in them. Verse 9, so the skeleton came together and the skin came together, but they're not living. Verse 9, and he said to me, prophesy to the wind, spirit, breath, prophesy, O son of man, and say to the wind, breath, spirit, thus spoke the Lord Yahweh, from the four winds, now here it's clearly, rukoth here clearly means winds, from the four winds, come, O ruach, wind, breath, spirit, and breathe. This is an imperative of nafach. This is the word, that same word that's used in Genesis 2. God breathed into them the breath of life, and man became a living being. So God's breath, only this time he's breathing into them the Holy Spirit. This is a new creation. And breathe into the slain, apparently into these slain ones. Apparently these were maybe soldiers slain in battle. And they lived, or that they would live, that they would live. And I prophesied just as he commanded me, and the spirit, wind, breath, entered into them, and they lived. Sure enough, they lived just as he had said. And they stood on their feet. Chayil, a great multitude, a great army. Ma'od, ma'od, a very, very great army. So this huge multitude, and sure enough, now they are living. Resurrection of the body unto eternal life on the last day, a huge multitude of God's people. And it's the Spirit who is the Lord and giver of life. We see that repeatedly through the Bible. Ezekiel 37 is one example. The Spirit is the Lord and giver of life who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Verse 11, and he said to me, Ben-Adan, O son of man, these bones are Kol, Beth, Yisrael, all the house of Israel. And now he kind of applies it to the current situation. As for these bones, they are all the house of Israel. Behold, they are saying, this is a participle of Amar, and here's what the house of Israel is saying while it's languishing in Babylonian exile. Our bones have dried up. Our hope has perished. We have been cut off with respect to ourselves, or by ourselves, for ourselves, unto ourselves. We're completely isolated. We're completely isolated. We belong to ourselves alone. We've been cut off from the land of the living, cut off from God. In the Old Testament, to be isolated is to be in a bad situation, to be in the realm of death. Life in its fullness is life in community with God. Death is complete isolation. We need to remind ourselves of that in our North American context, where individual autonomy is valued as some great virtue. From a biblical point of view, that's not life, that's death. Our hope has perished. Our tikvah has perished. We have no future. That's what they're saying. Complete despair. And to those disillusioned Israelites comes this resurrection vision preached by Ezekiel. God has gospel for those in despair. Verse 12, therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus spoke the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am opening up, I'm about to open up participle of pathach, your graves, and I will cause you all to go up from your graves, O my people, and I will cause you to enter into the land of Israel. So the restoration of Israel from exile will be like a resurrection of the body. Here he's kind of applying it metaphorically, but in the fullness of time, it becomes literal. Jesus really does bodily rise from the dead, and he really does on the last day raise our bodies from the dead and all those who belong to him. And he does it by his powerful voice, just as he did with Lazarus. So he will do on the last day. And we think of John 5, that passage in John 5 where Jesus says that he will come again on the last day and speak and raise the living and the dead, and give to his own sheep eternal life. Verse 13, and here's, it doesn't end there just with restoration to their land. And you will know that I am Yahweh when I open, this is an infinitive construct of pathach, in my opening your graves, and in my causing to go up, you to go up from your graves, O my people. So when I open your graves and when I cause you to go up from your graves, you will know that I am Yahweh. You will know me as your God. You will know your God. You will have this intimate familiarity and relationship with your God. So again, it produces faith and knowledge of God. Verse 14, and I will give my spirit, and here that can't just be wind, but it's my spirit. I will give my spirit in you, and you will live. So again, God's spirit is the author and giver of life. And I will put you, this is a hifil of nuach, but it's a different form. In this form, they double the nun, and it means more to just put or place or to settle, and I will settle you on your land. So the restoration from Israel is in focus here. Restoration from exile is in focus here. And you will know that I am Yahweh. I have spoken, and I will do it, the utterance of Yahweh. This is not wishful thinking. This is not just utopian dreaming. Yahweh, the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has promised it, and he will do it. And we live by that word ourselves as well as we look forward to the second coming of Christ and the bodily resurrection unto eternal life. We rely on his promise. And it's been 2,000 years now, but so what? We know he will keep his promise. And just as he kept his promise to ancient Israel in exile, and he did restore them after exile, so he will keep his promise here, and there'll be this resurrection. In fact, we even have more than that. Jesus himself bodily, God raised him from the dead bodily as the first fruits for the rest of the harvest. With man, this is impossible, but with God, the creator, it's possible. And through his spirit, the Lord and giver of life, we look forward to a future bodily existence, bodily life with God forever. There's hope for our bodies, not just our souls. And we need to emphasize this. We live in a context where a lot of talk about souls and spirits and ghosts. But we also need to, in this context, we need to emphasize that our bodies have a hope. I mean, it's a radical message. The day is coming when there are no more cemeteries. When the Creator reclaims all of us. And so we look forward to the full consummation of Ezekiel 37. That's the lesson. It's a nice parallel with John 11 and the raising of Lazarus. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening to Lectionary at Lunch.